Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said the influence of a mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. And I will add positive and negative. Thank God that Dr. Billy Graham had a wonderful wife. And by everybody's testimony, Ruth Bell Graham, I think is how they said her name, a young lady who prayed for a preacher husband over on the mission field in China. Don't tell me that God does not know how to put people together. He does. What a wonderful love story that was for them. So thank God for the good mothers in the world. There are many bad mothers. That's just the truth, and that is just the reality. And contrary to what people think in the church today, we have, yes, many bad men, but we have many bad women, bad females, and therefore bad mothers. And some mothers have never even been taught to be a wife and a mother, and so they turn out to be terrible wives and mothers. The Bible talks about this, and it is just the truth that the church does not want to face up to. And however, prophetically speaking, by the grace of God, I am dealing with it because it needs to be dealt with. For children all across this country and around the globe have suffered from bad parents, and that includes bad mothers. He goes on to say, they know and absorb her example and attitudes when it comes to questions of honesty, temperance, kindness, and industry, that is work. And I say amen and amen. Amen, somebody. Join me in praying the common prayer. If you mean it from your heart, it will mean something to you, and it will mean something to God if you are praying from your heart and you're just not reading words or quoting words. And it's a good training ground for young Christians who don't know how to pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices, and oh how we have followed too much the devices today. And may I say here, this is the second time God has prompted me to say this, and that is in a news story yesterday. The article talked about how that many millennials, many young people, are becoming hunchbacks, physical hunchbacks, because they are paying attention to their devices too much. Their iPhones and their Samsung phones or whatever kind of phone or device they may have. So allow me to pray that again in your hearing, and you need to pray it as well. We have followed too much the devices. Now, when the writer first wrote this, there were no iPhones, okay? But I'm using it. That's one of the reasons why I pray this, because some of us are addicted to our devices. Have you seen this phenomenon? How that people are walking down the street into traffic and getting killed looking at their device. These people who you have invited to dinner, and they come in looking at their device. They sit down at the table. They are attached to that device than they are to people. People are killing others and being killed in car accidents because they are too attached to their devices. Huge signs hang everywhere saying, better to be, to leave that text unread or you'll be dead or something to that effect. The only somebody we ought to be attached to is God through Jesus, okay? Don't let your devices, they're used to help make life better for you, not kill you and not destroy you. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, let us pray. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own, and may I add, wicked hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have, in other words, sinned against you, God. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no peace and joy in us because of our sins. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore light over here, Danielle. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, and I hope our technician and who helps put together these devotionals, who has been fair across the board dealing with the wives and the mothers as far as time and space, as well as the husband, that is the husband and the wife. I think an equal amount of time has been given as we go through what I call the family verses. These are the verses found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 that deal with how God wants the family to operate and move forward. These are the verses I referred to my wife before we got married. I told her this is how we're going to do our marriage and family, or not at all. I meant it then and I mean it now. Everybody in this family, everybody in my family, we're going to do it God's way or no way. That's precisely what I told my wife before we got married. And I said, you can get on board or you can get off at this point. But you came from a dysfunctional household, and so did I. And they just, quite honestly, God blessed their hearts. They didn't know any better. You know why? Because nobody taught them. They came from not only dysfunctional families, but really non-existent families almost, with no father, divorce, and separation, and death, and everything else, all basically coming out of slavery. Certainly Jim Crow, and racism beyond measure. So they did the best they could with what they had. And I give God the glory, praise, and honor for that. But when you know better, you ought to do better. Amen, somebody. And I expect my children to carry it forward and to do better and to make our family better as the generations roll on. They don't have to, but that's what I expect of them. And so now we are dealing with the children. What a wonderful segue. The Bible reads in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Dr. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible, the apostle Paul gives us two reasons, of course inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, gives us two reasons for the child to obey the parents. First, or the parent here. First, they are to obey in the Lord. This means that their obedience is part of their Christian obedience, in a similar way to the wife's command to submit to her husband as to the Lord. The second reason is because it is simply right for a child to obey their parent. What it means to honor our father and mother may change as we grow into adulthood, but the principle always endures. The adult child does not owe the parent obedience, but they do owe the parent honor. When the bonds of family life break up, when respect for parents fails, the community becomes decadent, and will not live long. End of quote. Let's pray. And I will add, before we pray, that particularly in American society, as adults, as young adults, adult children, if your parents' advice and your parents' instructions are biblical, you owe it to God to obey that advice and that instruction. It's not about, at this point, owing your obedience to your parents. It's not about that. It's about that God has blessed you with parents who know you and who know how vulnerable you are. And most parents, like myself, we pray not only that our children are protected by the devil, protected from the devil, and protected from the world, but we pray that God would protect them from themselves, because we know where the weaknesses are in their lives. And so when we tell our adult children something, when we advise them, that's a very serious matter, particularly in the Lord. And you would do well to obey your parents' advice as unto the Lord. So, however, you don't have to. And you can also reap the consequences of your bad choices if you choose not to. Because the Bible talks about clearly throughout the scriptures about the wisdom of seeking advice, seeking instruction and direction, guidance, and actually abiding by it. It is a wise child, not a wild child, but a wise child who does that. I know that when I was a much younger Christian, my parents really were not in a position to advise me, my mother and my father shared a few things with me in the earlier days that I appreciate. And one thing I did obey and one thing I didn't. And I have suffered the consequences of not doing that. And so you ought to obey, as young adults, your parents' advice, particularly if they are in the Lord, meaning that they are saved and they love the Lord and they obey the Lord and they have raised you based upon the Word of God. It would be wise for you to listen to what they have to say to you, because they know God. They're the ones who probably led you to the Lord. And also, you need to go ahead and put that down. Just drop it on the floor. And they know you. And so it would be wise for you to listen to what they have to say and obey as unto the Lord what they have to tell you, because so many Christians have been destroyed by not doing that. When I was at the funeral, the homegoing of Billy Graham last week, one of Dr. Billy Graham's daughters, in a very transparent fashion, in a wonderful attitude and spirit, told how she did not obey her parents at a certain stage in her life when she should have, and she made a mess of things. And then guess who's there to clean it up? The actual parents who tried to steer you away from messing your life up. They're the ones who got to accept the children, the grandchildren, and keep them at their house, and they're the ones who got to house you and put you in a place, protect you from angry husband, and oftentimes get hurt or shot or trying to protect you. And all kinds of mess comes from disobedient adult children. Dr. Dave Ramsey talked about this one day, and he says very clearly that in truth, you don't have to listen to your parents and obey your parents. And he very wisely said, and I agree, that once you are an adult, our role is to advise you. But it is a blessed and good thing to seek and get and go by the advice you get from your parents, who know the same God you know, hopefully, and they know you. And they know the history behind you. And they are trying to warn you to not go in a way that's going to end up destroying your life. And then you have to end up going through years of pain and heartache. So you don't have to obey your parents as an adult child, but you should, particularly those parents who are in the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And Lord, we pray that our technician, my oldest son, Daniel White IV would give ample time to this passage, the same amount of time as he did for husbands and wives, as he helps me with these devotions. And I thank you that he has done a pretty good job in putting these devotions together over these past 290 days. And as he does that unto you, you will reward him and bless him if he does a good job. And so far, it's been a pretty good job. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that not only all of my children, but all of the children under the sound of my voice and who will be under the sound of my voice will obey your holy word and obey their godly parents. We don't want any children to obey their parents in the sense of doing evil, doing wrong like they have done, lying and covering up and stealing and robbing and cheating. We're not talking about that, but obedient to the things that are found in the Word of God, the commandments of that you have put down. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us all to learn obedience through the things we suffer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage reading for this morning is Psalm 118, 1 through 9. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. That's what you ought to be doing, giving thanks to the Lord. Stop fretting and worrying about yourself and give thanks unto the Lord for the blessings that he has bestowed upon you already. And understand that you don't deserve those blessings, and understand that if he never blesses you again, you ought to give thanks to the Lord and you ought to be happy for what he's already done for you. Amen, somebody. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. You need to thank God for his mercy. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Have you ever had that experience? When you were in distress, when you were in a mess, and you called on God, you didn't have enough strength to even utter the words. You just barely got them across your lips. But God came through, as he oftentimes does for you, and put you in a large place. He resolved the issue, zip, bam, boom, there you go. God is wonderful like that. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I learned that a long time ago. How about you? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or presidents. Amen, somebody. Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, the account the psalmist here gives of his troubles is very applicable to Christ. Many hated him without a cause. Nay, the Lord himself chastened him sorely, bruised him, and put him to grief, that by his stripes we might be healed. God is sometimes the strength of his people when he is not their song. They have spiritual supports, though they want spiritual delights. Whether the believer traces back his comfort to the everlasting goodness and mercy of God, or whether he looks forward to the blessing secured to him, he will find abundant cause for joy and praise. Amen, somebody. Join me now in prayer and thanking God for his word, and then prayer for the estates. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We don't understand it all, but we thank you for it all. And we pray that you'll fill us with it all in our hearts and help us to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it, to live by it, and to apply it, pardon me, to our lives. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Let's pray for the estates. The church is first. Holy Father God, we pray that you would help us in your church to get on revival ground, for revival tarries for many reasons. And one of them is because we, as your people, most of us do not want revival. And therefore, while some are praying for revival, most of us are not on revival ground. And we don't want to get on revival ground. Praying, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways, and humbling ourselves before you. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for revival in the church. We also pray for the president and the government. And as always, they are in trouble and they need the prayers of your church. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, that includes presidents and prime ministers, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I don't know about you, I believe all Christians want to live a quiet and peaceable life, but we must remember it needs to be in all honesty and godliness. Because if it's not in honesty, your conscience is not clear, so you can't live in peace. And if it's not in godliness, you're going to be feeling guilty about your evil that you're doing and that others are doing. We pray, therefore, for President Donald Trump and his family and his administration, Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Chief of Staff for Operations Joe Hagan, all leaders of federal agencies, including Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, all state governors, including Washington Governor Jay Inslee, all city mayors, including St. Petersburg, Florida Mayor Rick Chrisman, all members of Congress, including California Representative Jimmy Gomez, all law enforcement officials, including Chula Vista, California Police Chief Roxana Kennedy, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis, General Darren W. McDew, Commander of U.S. Transportation Command, leaders of nations around the world, Hungary's President Janos Adar, and Prime Minister Viktor Orban for the peace of Jerusalem and for the modern-day David like figure, Benjamin Netanyahu. And we thank you for the peace that is in Jerusalem and in Israel. And Lord, we pray now for the people, the citizens of this country, and citizens of other countries. We pray that your Holy Spirit would not give them rest, that your Holy Gospel would find every soul and not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And we pray that you would bless them and provide for them as well. We also pray for the old media and the new media. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and lead, guide, and direct them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Lord, where our bodies are torn down, and we pray where we are sickly or weak, that you would heal everybody among us who is sick today according to your will. We also pray for current events across the country and around the globe, not to inform you because you already know, but to obey you because you want us to pray not only for ourselves but for others. We pray for the comfort of the families of the five people killed in an apartment building collapse in Poland, for the recovery of 21 injured. We pray for peace to prevail in Burkina Faso, for the comfort of the families of the eight people killed in extremist attacks, and for the recovery of the nearly 100 people wounded. We pray for the safety and provision of 150,000 people in Papua New Guinea who are in desperate need of aid after a deadly earthquake. And we pray for the prayer requests that have come in, and we thank you for entrusting us with hundreds of prayer requests, and help us to pray for them throughout the day. And we pray for them now that you would grant them salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, life, protection, and provision blessings. And hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we also pray by name for a few of those folks. Claudio, please bring his family salvation, restoration, finances, legal proceedings, ministry, liberation from inequity, and health. Laura, we pray that you'd please bless her and her family with a nice place to stay before they get evicted. We pray for William. Please heal him of dry eye and heal his mother of cellulitis, bed sores, back pain. Save his mother and all their family and friends. And we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We pray for Alan, Giannis, and Demelis. Help these to grow in the faith. Help us to be the disciples, disciplers of the disciples that you send our way. And we pray that all pastors and churches would do the same. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ through this ministry. We pray for Jennifer, Constant, Margaret, and others. Help these to stand strong in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. And we commit these souls into your hands as well as our souls. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading today is titled The Divine Standard by Dr. Billy Graham. Romans 10:8 says, for salvation that comes from trusting Christ is already within easy reach of each of us. Dr. Billy Graham uses a different version than we do, but you're getting the message. He goes on to say, Christ said there is a happiness in that acknowledgement of spiritual poverty which lets God come into our souls. Now, the Bible teaches that our souls have a disease. It causes all the troubles and difficulties in the world. It causes all the troubles, confusions, and disillusionments in your own life. The name of the disease is an ugly word. We don't like to use it. It is sin. All of us have pride. We do not like to confess that we are wrong or that we have failed. Isn't that true? But God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have failed to live up to the divine standard. We must confess our sin as the first step to happiness, peace, and contentment. And the church said, Amen. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together. As always, the devil has tried to hinder it. He does it every day. We should not be shocked or surprised or taken aback at that. And we are not ignorant of his devices. And so, Lord, help us to be prayerful throughout this morning and throughout this afternoon, evening, and night. Help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Help us to pray not only for our service to come today, but at Gospel Lighthouse of Prayer, as I will continue to preach on prayer every Wednesday. But Lord, bless all other prayer meetings. Lead all other pastors to teach on prayer and to actually pray in the prayer meeting and not just a talk. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to all get on revival ground. Help us all to get on prayer ground. And help us to pray and to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, if you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from sin and hell and gain a home in heaven. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Light, the Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You are headed towards death. You are going to pass by funeral homes today. You're going to pass by graveyards today. You may have to pull over for a funeral where there are cars going by on the other side, led by a police officer, because someone is dead in that long line of cars. And you will be in that hearse one day yourself. And so will I. We die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. Understand also, thirdly, please accept the fact that you are on the road not only to death but to hell if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in Matthew 10:28, in fact, Jesus Christ said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, Jesus Christ was a hell fire and brimstone preacher. In fact, he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And he preached more on hell single-handedly, more so than most preachers living today. Hell is bad news. Hell is not fun place. Hell is a place of torture, darkness, pain, gnashing of teeth, in pain, and hell is a place of an agonizing memory, and it is forever. So you do not want to go to this awful place called hell. Hell is bad news. But the reason why I am here, and more importantly, the reason why Jesus Christ came here, is to give the good news. And here's the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins, being buried and rising again on the third day. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you believe in your heart right now the gospel you just heard, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day for you and for me, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please do that and pray with me a simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer, and mean it from your heart as you repeat after me. You've never prayed a prayer like this before, and you need some guidance. You can pray it on your own if you can. That's fine, but someone led me in this prayer almost 40 years ago, and I thank God for the privilege of leading many others in this prayer down through the years, and I'll be glad to do it for you today. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, based upon your holy word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray to you in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I acknowledge before you that I am a sinner by nature and by choice. I admit to you that I have broken your Ten Commandments by stealing, by lying, by lusting after people, by lusting after things, by dishonoring my parents at times, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, who shed his precious blood for my sins, who was buried, and who rose again from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my old and evil ways, and help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Just like you said you would.